In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
This might sound a little bit foreign to some of our younger members of the church here, but one of my favorite pastimes when I was a kid was playing with marbles. And it wasn't just playing with marbles, it was like examining them, looking at them, comparing them, checking the size, the colors and the waves inside, and we used to compare, and everyone had his favorite marble that he played only the important games with, and we loved marbles. We didn't have all the electronics and technology that we have right now. So I just want y'all to, if you can, to imagine with me something real quick. So imagine one of my friends, a dear friend, who also loves marbles a lot, and he just, because he loves me, he gives me this huge jar of marbles. And he says, here, take it, this is yours. You can have it, do whatever with it, you can play with it, you can do anything with it. And the only thing I want you to do is that, like, just every once in a while, whenever I want to play marbles with you, because I love playing marbles with you, just, yani, let me play with those marbles that I've given you, yani, every once in a while. You don't have to give them back to me, just keep them. And actually, I'm going to keep giving you more and more and more and more marbles, yani, endlessly. And what would you say if I refused to do this? I'm insane. You're like, right? I love marbles, and he's doing all this, and he's going to, all he wants is just for me to play with him every once in a while. And I refuse. Or what would you say if I say, okay, yes, you know, I'll do this, but then he asks me to play, and I say, no, sorry, I'm not gonna, or I'm busy, or I can't. But I keep taking the marbles, and he keeps giving them to me just because he's that good. Maybe you'd say I'm a liar, or maybe I'm not really his friend, right? So let's leave this example or parable and maybe look at ourselves a little bit and make it a little bit more real. Believe me, my brethren, I think some of us, maybe many of us, do the same thing in real life today. Let's look together, yani this can take forever, but let's look together for a few minutes about what has God given us, okay? I'm not going to say anything new, yani, but let's remember together. Number one, like in the Gregorian liturgy, you say what? You created me when I was not. Period. I was not. I wasn't a tree. I wasn't an amoeba. I wasn't anything. I didn't get to experience anything, good or bad or ugly. I was nothing. You happened to choose to create me. Not only that, but you created me in His image, in your image. I have the ability to love, to share, to communicate, to receive love, and not only with other people, but also with Him, the Creator. Imagine I make a pot that can be like me and communicate with me. On top of that, He made creation for me. Yeah, and we can do hours in this: mountains, seas, creatures, butterflies, fish, flowers, you name it, the universe, the stars, everything for me. And He put it in order for me. He gave me the gift of speech, listening, communication in general. A few Sundays ago was the passage, the gospel, about when Jesus healed a blind, mute, and demon-possessed man, if you remember. You know, I was thinking about that guy, like if somebody's blind but can speak, it's not good, but at least they can hear and communicate with people. And if somebody can't speak, they're mute, but they can see, at least, again, they can learn, maybe do some sign language or something. But this guy was blind and mute. He was totally isolated from the world. He couldn't express himself. He, and demon-possessed on top of it. The Arabic passage says Magnoon, but which means crazy, but in the English translation, which like says he was demon possessed, it's like he was in his own cell, and this demon would come, torment him for a while, and he'd be in, yani, I can't imagine what he would feel, but he can't say or do anything about it. So just the gift of being able to say ouch to somebody, he gave me that too. He gave me a sense, all my senses, my mind, my thoughts, my psyche, my emotions, to enjoy all of the above. I want to try to hurry a little bit. He gave me my health, or a certain level of health, and gave me the ability to be able to move, to work, to create, to feel valuable, to feel important for somebody or for society. He gave me also all the comforts and luxuries, my home, my car, food, clothes, shelter, like everything that we take so for granted. We can just do this and then hot water comes out, clean water without germs or pesticides or chemicals. Or there's many things we take for granted. I don't know if the statistics are true or not, but I tend to believe it. I read somewhere that if you're here in the U.S., just being living here in the United States of America, that automatically makes you having a better life than about 85% of the rest of the world, regardless of what your level of life here is. Let's go on. He gave me a place like this, to be able to come and to stand before him. And worship him and not fear any death or harm. He gave me the opportunity to, partake of his body and blood, even though I'm a worthy sinner. He took my punishment. Not only that, but he gave me his only begotten son. Let's look at the Thanksgiving prayer. We say what? You covered us, helped us, guarded us, accepted us unto you, spared us, supported us. Just look at covered us alone. The reason I'm here is because he covered us. He covered me. People don't know all of me or the real me. And he did this with every one of us. He allowed me to wake up this morning and gave me yet one more chance to repent and to play with him with some of the marbles. First Corinthians 4:7 says, what do you have that you did not receive? What do we have that we did not receive? There is one thing that we have that we did not receive, which is the sentence of death that we plucked for ourselves. That's the only thing. Everything else and everyone else he has given to us. The list goes on and on and on. He gave me a lot of marbles. A lot of them, and all of us. And what does he ask for in return? Just please don't love any of those people or things more than me. Don't love any of those gifts more than me. How nonsensical would it be if he asked any of us to share any of this stuff and we refuse? Wouldn't make sense, just like the marble thing. There are many people in the building today, though it's not as full as I remember. And in the passage, it says our Lord had many, many people around him. Everybody's happy around Jesus, you know, we're all believers. Go, and then he does something very strange. Stop. Unless if you hate this and this and this, even your own love. It's like, what's up, God? We're all having a good time. Why ruin this get-together? And the reason is because he doesn't like, he can't stand to see his beloved being lukewarm. He doesn't want us to think that simply because we're in the crowd, we're with the herd around Jesus, that, yeah, we're Christians. So he asks us a question right away. He says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, come after me. Wait, first, you have to make sure that you love me more than your father, mother, wife, children, land, even more than your own life. Why? Because he loves us too much to let us just go on living life thinking that, yeah, I'm a Christian, but not really be a Christian. Because there's nothing he hates to see more than lukewarm people. Many people's favorite verse is John, what, 3:16. God so loved the world, stuff like that. We can't repay this with Revelation 3:16. You know what it says? That he can't stand, I can't stand it, neither you're neither cold nor hot, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. We can't repay his 3:16 with our Revelation 3:16. So he tells us, wait, Yanni, just because you're here in church and you're with this group of wonderful people, don't automatically, Yanni, take it easy and feel, okay, yes, I'm a Christian, all is well. First, count the cost. Am I willing to share my home that he gave me and maybe do Bible studies in it or host people who are travelers or sojourners? Or am I willing to share my car for his name? Maybe drive around people who don't have an easy means of transportation and bring them to church or take them to go get groceries? Or am I willing to use my ability to walk and talk and listen and maybe visit a lonely widow somewhere or someone who's sick in a hospital? Just listen to them talk and vent and talk about the weather or whatever. Take a little bit of my time. Am I willing to give some of my comforts or my rest or my sleep or my money for him? Just one of those marbles. Not really give it up. Just share it with him a little bit. He doesn't want it back. He just wants us to share it with him. Am I willing to give up? He gave me 24 hours every day of my life. Am I willing to give up a little bit of this, maybe to 30 minutes or an hour so that I may come early to church? Actually, early means I come here before Abuna. So it's only so that I may come on time to church. We'll get up and just say good morning to him, 10, 15 minutes, 30 minutes in the morning. Am I willing to give anything that he gave me to him? Just like Matthew 25 says, when you've done on any of this, visited or clothed, you clothed, I was naked, you clothed me, I was hungry, you fed me, I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. All the stuff he said, you did it, when you do it to the least of these, you're doing it to who? To me. It's all to him. Am I willing to give my own life to him? Okay, that one's kind of scary. Belesh my life. Am I willing to give my rights to him? Am I willing to turn the other cheek just for his sake because it pleases him? Am I willing to forgive someone for God's sake because he wants me to? Let's remember that jar of marble of the forgiveness that he has given me. And before we go through asking ourselves these questions, really, has he given us or asked us to do anything that's for him? Everything that I do or that he asked me to do or not to do is for my benefit. When the parents ask their child, you know, make sure you brush your teeth, who is it for? When they tell, make sure you wash behind your ears in the shower, who is it for? When they say, go study, who is it for them or him? When they say, don't go to these kind of movies, don't have these bad friends, who benefits? It's us. All the things he asks us to do are for our benefit. And it's funny how God is. Have you ever filled, you get a bag of rice or sugar from the store and you're filling a jar at home? What do you do when the jar is full? Shake a little, tap a little, okay? Not only is it for our benefit, but he tells us, in Luke 6:38. When we do the things that he asked us to do, he said that he will give us a good measure, pressed down, shaken, and running over. And he puts it in your bosom. It's all for us. It's all for our benefit. So he tells us, count the cost. You see, like, Christian math doesn't make sense. If you think worldly math is hard to some people, Christian math doesn't make sense at all. He says, if you give me a small fraction, like if there's, how do I, like 80 or 90% of your money is actually bigger than 100% of your money. Because when you share a little bit of this, I will bless the leftover and it will be even more. Simply because he is good and his mercy endures forever. If he says, you give me a little bit of your sleep and come to church on time, many of us experience this, and you hear people talking about it. When you come on time, it's like the 3 hours feel actually less. When you come late, it's like it feels like a little bit longer. So 1 hour is actually bigger than 3 hours. It doesn't make sense. He says, he who seeks me early and diligently will find me. من يبكرون إلي يجدونني. Just because he's that good. And his mercy endures forever. If I forgive someone, I am the one who is released. Doesn't make sense. But he's that good, and his mercy endures forever. I heard a beautiful quote once, or actually read it online. It says, staying angry at someone is like me drinking poison and hoping they die. Any of us who have served or gave or anything, when you give anything, we're the ones who feel the comfort and the joy. It is better to give than to receive. Some people I know personally in this building right now, I know they got it. But I feel like based on this passage and based on the rest of the Bible, I worry that many of us maybe didn't count the cost and didn't do the math. And God loves us too much to let us go going on like this thinking we're Christians. So he tells us, wait, before you build, count the cost. Before you go to battle, count the cost. Do the math. The Christian style. So I need to count the costs before I call myself a Christian. I need to love the giver more than the gift. It sounds silly to even say it. I need to share with him anything and everything, so since he has given it to me anyway. It's all his anyway. It's a right to his right to take it anytime, and it's fair and just and more than just. And what's even funnier is when I do all of this, I'm the one who's actually benefiting. Simply because he is that good and his mercy endures forever. To him is due all thanks and glory and honor forever. Amen.